Hey, greetings. This is Brother James, don'tperish.com, John 424 Radio. I want to talk to you today about an interesting topic. Jesus didn't start soup kitchens. Jesus did not start soup kitchens. Are you aware that there's a huge movement, it's been going on for decades, in the churchianity systems? It's called social justice and the social gospel. And basically, it's where they are replacing the preaching of the gospel and making disciples with doing good works and feeding programs, getting involved in legal and political matters for others, even people that aren't believers. And they've lost the call of the Great Commission and what God has called us to do. Go look at my articles. Look up the articles on social gospel, social justice at the teaching blog from don'tperish.com. And you can learn about it if you don't know about it. I want to be clear, if we read scripture, God does care about justice and God does care about the poor. But how these people are doing it, who they're doing it with, and how they're leaving the gospel behind, the truth of God behind, it's not how the Lord would have us do it. And that's what I kind of want to talk about here. Their focus is on feel good and food ministry, not the gospel to eternal life. Let me give you a quick story before we go into this teaching. We were in Kansas and we decided to street preach outside, witness outside of a Salvation Army facility on Thanksgiving Day. That was interesting. A bunch of homeless guys around. One of them was throwing a knife in the ground, yelling at me. The police showed up, not because of him, but tried to run us off, but we were on public sidewalk, and they said we could stay. That's a whole other issue. A lot of people got the gospel that day. Sister Debbie ministered to an older lady that was very kind and sweet. But I want to tell you about a man named Raymond. He was there to get food, and after he went in and got a big bag of food, a turkey dinner, Thanksgiving dinner, whatever they cook for him, he came out to me, and I said, "Can I talk to you?" And I said, "I see you got some food there." And he said, "Yeah." And I gave him the gospel truth, and I shared with him my testimony, and I shared with him how Christ could change his life. You know, this man, he looked so sad. He looked like the walking dead. He looked so worn out, probably addiction, drugs, alcohol, whatever. And you know what? He looked at me, and you know what he said that day? I'll never forget this. He said, "Those people in there," he said, "they don't care about our souls." He said, "All they care about is filling our bellies so they can feel good for themselves." He said, "They don't care about our souls." And him and I talked a little bit more, and he went on his way. And you know, I'm not too much of a man to admit, I shed some tears over that man that day. I don't know, I was really touched by this man, Raymond. And I thought to myself, that could be me. Him and I were close to the same age. That could be me in life. And here was this lost, hopeless, desperate man, but he got the gospel. He got the offer of help. I would have helped him. He never called us. And he illustrates my story very well. In fact, I have a blurry picture of him on this article link. Kind of reminds me when I go out preaching with the street people and the homeless, I think about Raymond a lot. He makes my point. They have a false ministry. They don't care about people's souls. They just care about feeding them so they can feel good, like they're doing something. They're enabling men to eat for free. They pretty much do it every day. No call to repentance, no warning of death and hell, no glorious proclamation of what Christ has done. Oh, they do religion, church services, but this is dead and it's not going to transform anyone. How sad is that? So this way is not of God. He illustrates that for us. It's a perversion of the religious systems and of man. Most people have corrupted the body of Christ, churchianity, and the call to serve God, serve others via the gospel. They've turned it into social programs, feel-good feeding programs, social justice movements. You know, Black Lives Matter is not a Christian group, but they kind of have that same mindset. They're not a Christian group. Then you have Christian groups that are like Black Lives Matter and get involved in all kinds of things other than the gospel. And so they lack so much, including the biblical gospel that'll transform people's lives. It's a fleshly way of man. and it is void of the eternal magnitude that we need. If you're a true saint of God, you know how the biblical gospel changed your life and people calling you to it. If people just handed you food and never gave you this truth, you would not be hungry today, maybe, if they're feeding you, but you'd still be on the way to hell, right? Yeah. So what is our main calling as his holy people? Is it to do that, what I just explained to you? No. We're going to find out as we go through this real quickly here with some scripture. What are we commanded to do? Let's read a parable or an account from Jesus. Matthew 25, 34 through 40. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or and fed thee, a thirsty, or gave thee a drink? And when we saw thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when we saw thee sick or in prison and came to thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So let's talk about this. So obviously we believe that faith and works go together. So these are the good works and looking after people that are in need. What's the focus here? It is the brethren, right? And what is that word, brethren? Well, in the Greek, it's adelphios. It means brother by blood or brother by faith. And it can also mean a human fellow, another like a humankind, another human. But in the context here, it's talking about faith, a brother of the faith. And why would I say that? Well, let's look at the context. This king and the story Jesus is telling is where? It's in Israel. Israel was, I don't know the percentage, but probably way over 95% Torah-believing Jews. They were God's chosen people at the time of Jesus. They had their whole Levitical priest system, the temple system. They were under the occupation of the Roman Empire, but they still were followers of the Most High. And who is he saying to feed? The least of his brethren. They were God's chosen nation. They called them the brethren. Now, today, for you and I, we're not in Israel. Who's our brethren today? Well, a true saint today, a brethren today, would be any man or woman born again by the gospel, faith in Christ's shed blood, his perfect work, his resurrection, repentance of all sin and false ways, being born again by the Spirit, you become a new creation. You're striving in holiness and obedience. You're growing your fruit in Christ, obeying him, and you're enduring in the faith. That's a true saint. That's the ones he's saying when you saw them. They were naked, they were hungry, they were hurting. You helped them, right? So the context is a true brother. And I'm not saying you don't feed anyone who's not a true brother. We'll get to that. But the context, Jesus in Israel is talking to other Israelites. They were believers of the Most High. What about the story of Jesus telling the rich man this? Matthew 19:21. Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. We all know the story. The guy couldn't do it. He loved his stuff, loved his money and his things. He didn't do it, right? So what does he tell him to do? Give it to the poor. Again, he's in Israel. Who's the poor in Israel? It would be the lower class of the brethren who had faith in the Most High. He didn't say go and send it to pagan nations and people that are not even believers in the Most High. No. He said, give it to the poor. It would have been right there in Israel. We never, ever see them setting up shop, setting up soup kitchens, sending out supplies to pagan nations, do we? No, we don't ever see that. We do see Paul doing something that is close to that, but it's still to believers, and we'll get there. So let's talk about the Good Samaritan story. You know, that would be someone you encounter in life, along a roadside or just in life in general. Hear me here. Of course we would help anyone. They don't have to just be a brethren to help them. Paul will give us a scripture on that in a little bit here. We'll cover that. But just because you see one person in need and you help them doesn't mean our calling is to set up soup kitchens to the pagans and the unbelievers and to go be sending money all across the world and it gets eaten up by administrative costs and corruption. No, the early saints didn't do it. And we shouldn't do it either. If you find someone hungry and needy right near you, feed them, clothe them, and preach the gospel to them. See if they want to be a brethren. If they don't, that's not something you continue on in because your focus is the gospel, not casting pearls, moving on to people that will listen and the brethren. Amen? So I encourage you to feed hungry souls. Feed their body, but please, live the gospel, have a good gospel card, feed their soul with the gospel as well at the same time. I try to do that with the homeless people. It rarely goes over well. They just want cash to buy drugs and alcohol because they don't want to work and they really can get food all over in America. And so we have to be very wise how we use the Lord's money. If we don't give them the gospel, and we just give them cheeseburgers and pizza, they're still in a hopeless place, aren't they? They need to be warned about the fate that they are going to have. Matthew 26:11, Jesus says this, "For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always." So, of course, Jesus cares about all souls, all right? But again, in his ministry, did he start soup kitchens? He had the power to do it. I mean, he took one basket of bread and fish and fed thousands. Do we see Jesus doing that? No, not at all. What was he focused on? Proclaiming the kingdom of God. Calling to the people that would become children of God. His focus was on God, the kingdom of God, and his brethren. Not all the lost people that reject the Most High. Consider that. That was Jesus' focus. And do your history study. There was a lot of poor in Israel. They had a class, you know, they had lower classes, and God used to have the corners of the field left for them to go and eat. So God had like a kind of a welfare program, offering program for the poor, dictated in the Old Testament. But the New Testament saints, like Paul or Jesus, did not start soup kitchens, feeding programs. They preached the gospel. They helped people they encountered. They took care of the brethren, and they glorified God. Here's that verse. Who does Paul tell us to look after? Galatians 6:10. "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith." So if you got resources, you should be focused on brothers and sisters in need first. Then if you can help other people and preach the gospel to them, that's a wonderful ministry. But you don't just send food out to pagans and people that hate the Most High, not preach the gospel to them, and pat yourself on the back like the Salvation Army saying, "We're doing good deeds." No, you're actually wasting the Lord's money and damning people's eternal souls, right? So, I need to state it again. A saint of God would be a born-again man or woman following after Christ by the gospel I just preached to you. That would be our brethren. They're the ones we're to look after the most, those that are in need. And again, anyone else in your life, of course you're going to help. You're going to feed. You're going to take care of for a season. Preach the gospel to them and then see if they become brethren. Here's the key. You feed a man for a year and all you do is give him food. He's going to die and go to hell, right? Feed a man, preach the gospel to him, call him to repentance, and if he's one of the few that will hear it, hey, he'll repent, you can help him, he'll get his life cleaned up, he'll be working, he'll be helping others, brethren, he'll be helping other people needy like him, even pagans, calling them to the gospel. That's how we grow the kingdom of God. We grow it starting with the gospel, not with soup kitchens. Does that make sense? Amen. Now, Jesus does mention little children in Matthew 25, and so we need to mention that. They kind of fall into a whole different category. They're innocent. They're free of sin. They're so small. So feeding innocent small children, that's a very noble thing. I'm not against that at all. But again, we feed them. Got to find a way to get the gospel to them as they grow. Got to find a way to educate them on the things of God. Otherwise, just throwing food at them, they're going to grow up into little pagans, to adult pagans. They're going to perish in their sin. You're not glorifying God. You're not helping them. And really, that's not even ministry, okay? That's a social program God never called us to. So Paul tells us to focus on God's people first and most. I just read that verse. Then we help others around us. The two great commands, love God, love your neighbor, right? They apply. But feeding the world, having soup kitchens to the world, is not our call or our commission. No saints of God in the New Testament pursued that route. You don't see them doing what you see churchianity doing today. Feel-good programs, cutting people's lawns, feeding them, cleaning out their gutters, all noble good deeds. But without the gospel, it's pointless, it's meaningless, it's a tiger with no teeth, as they say. It's a well with no water. Let me talk about what Paul did. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, we'll go read all of 1 Corinthians 16. Apostle Paul is saying, hey, put some money aside so when I come, there's no collection. Paul was gathering up money. What was Paul gathering up money for? Let's see. He was going to send it to a far-off land and feed a bunch of hungry pagans that hated God. No. Paul was collecting for the saints in Jerusalem. I believe there was a famine there. He was collecting money for hungry, needy brethren in Jerusalem. You see how Paul is backing up exactly what I'm saying here? Focus on the brethren, preaching the gospel. Yeah, you can help others along the way. I'm all for feeding hungry people like the homeless I deal with. Let's talk about that. I feed them if they're hungry. I give them an offer of God's truth and the gospel. I give them the help. I tell them I'll help them get cleaned up. I give them encouragement that God's word and wisdom and truth and the knowledge of God can help them get their life in order. But you know what? If they don't call me for help, if they don't want to leave their drugs and alcohol, if they don't want to clean themselves up and get a job, I am not called to stand there and feed them every Friday with a soup truck. Nope. There's a lot of Christians doing that. They feel good about doing it. They're not building the kingdom of God. All they're doing is making full homeless men that hate the truth of God. And that's not glorifying to our Father. They would be better to go through an area, sweep through with the gospel, feed people for a day, call them to repentance, and if they don't want it, move on to the next area. What did Jesus say? If you go to an area and they don't want the truth, dust your feet off and move on. You don't set up camp there and just become their friends running a soup kitchen. The whole point with these downtrodden people is to help them come to the knowledge of the truth, so that they get their feet set on the path to eternal life. Then, especially the men, women should be taking care of their children at home, but I guess if they're single women too, you train them to be able to work and how to feed themselves, take care of themselves, and then you're making a disciple so they can then duplicate themselves and make other disciples. Just feeding people and everybody relying on you, they're not going to duplicate anything, but needy people relying on you outside of Christ. We need to teach able-bodied people that they must work for their way. What does Paul say? 2 Thess 3:10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. It's pretty clear. And he's talking to the brethren, but that would apply for people of the world too. If they don't want the gospel and they don't want to work, you're not going to stand there and keep feeding them. They're going to reap what they sow, don't they? Yeah. They're going to reap what they will sow. So what is the command of Jesus? Start soup kitchens, start social programs, cut everyone's lawn, clean out everyone's gutters. No. Jesus said this, Mark 16:15. He said unto them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. So the truth is, only the gospel message can change these lives, change people's eternal destination. All these feeding programs, all these things they're doing really ends up not changing much at all. A couple quick stories. The UN has like a budget program of like $8 billion. $8 billion to help needy people, right? they recently said in an article that if the richest man in the world, Elon Musk, would give them $8 billion, they could solve the hunger problem. You know what his question was to them? You have a budget of $8 billion. Why haven't you solved the hunger problem already over all the years you've had a budget of $8 billion a year? Get the point? Because they keep throwing money and they keep throwing food, and that's not the real issue. Let me give you an example. India. A lot of poor people in India. India is a nation of Hinduism. Hinduism has millions of gods. Hinduism believes in reincarnation. They don't control rats that eat much of their grain harvest that makes people go hungry and starve, because that rat might be your reincarnated Uncle Charlie. Yeah, it's true. Do your research. And so biblical ignorance, demonic religion, is why these people are in the place they're in. We need to preach the gospel, change hearts and minds, educate them with the truth and the knowledge of God, and then if they're willing to follow it, they can come out of all that darkness. But to just throw more and more food at it, UN and all these nations have proven, you can't just solve problems throwing money at it. It's a problem of the heart and the nature of man. They need a new heart. They need the biblical gospel. Yes, they need food. If they're hungry, then call them to Christ. That's the model we see in the Bible. Jesus and Paul's ministry, there was no soup kitchens. There was no social programs. There were saints looking after each other, helping other needy people along the way, calling them to the gospel, never losing sight of serving God, loving your brother and sisters. Yeah, you love your neighbor and help them. The best thing you can do to your neighbor is call them to the gospel. Call them to eternal life. Amen. We help true brethren, the saints of God, and those that are born of Him. And most of all, our ministry is to be trained up to go and preach the gospel. Bring food, but bring gospel tracts, bring Bibles, invite them to Bible study, invite them out of the world and out of their flesh and their false religion. Don't just keep giving them food over and over and over again with no end. You end up casting pearls, whether it be food or truth pearls, to people that don't want the things of God. What did Jesus say about casting pearls? No, he did not focus on soup kitchens, neither did Apostle Paul. The gospel truth went out. That transforms lives. Look at your testimony if you're a true saint of God. No cheeseburger changed your life. Now, someone showing you love, giving you a cheeseburger, preaching the gospel, that could have changed your life. But the cheeseburger did not change your life, did it? No. Don't be caught up in all of this feel-good ministry that's going on out there. Like that man Raymond said, it's easy to feel good standing in line giving people food, but if you're afraid to tell them the gospel because they're going to hate you, then that food is like an idol. You just love that feeling of you feeding people, and it puffs you up in your pride. I'm such a good person. Look at me feeding people. When you don't have the guts and the strength and the boldness to proclaim the gospel because you're afraid of men, that's not honoring to God. That's a pathetic stain against a holy God. So consider that. And where I'm going to close on this is those people that won't tell the gospel truth and all they really are is about the food. You know what that reminds me of? Reminds me of the crowds following Jesus. And he fed them, right? The only time Jesus ever did a feeding program is when he had a sermon and they listened for 3 days and they were hungry and he fed them. He didn't just go out and do feeding programs, right? And so he fed them. And then later, what does he say to them in John 6:26? Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." They were following Jesus because of their bellies. That's why people line up at Salvation Army, for their bellies. They're not hungry for spiritual truth. If they were, they shouldn't be getting it at a false place like Salvation Army that approves of sodomy and lesbianism. That's, look them up. I have a whole article on that. So Jesus called those people out. And if you train people to just get food from you and not the truth of God, that's all they're going to want from you. Right? Whatever you give people, that's what they're going to expect you to keep giving them. So that's my cry today. Jesus didn't start soup kitchens and social programs. Jesus showed us the kingdom of God. Apostle Paul preached the gospel of Christ crucified. That's how lives are changed. We do good works on the way. We help needy people. Yes, we'll help anybody, but we won't stand with them while they hate God and continue to just give them God's resources. No, we move on and help other people that might be called into the kingdom of God. So study this out for yourself. Look up those articles on the social gospel and social justice. They're heretical, terrible movements in the so-called body of Christ. It isn't really. It's churchianity. True saints are in their lives, whether they're a street preacher, husband at home, housewife, keeper at home, servant working at home, sharing the light of Christ, looking after true saints, doing good, yes, to the neighbors around them, but they've always got their eyes on the gospel of Christ and Christ most of all. That's the life changer. That's our eternal hope. Amen? Amen. Thanks for listening. Let me know I can help you in the faith. Make sure you're modeling yourself after Jesus Christ and Apostle Paul's ministry, not false churchianity and the social gospel programs. We don't need more soup kitchens. We need the gospel, bold men and women to stand, preach, model it, show it, proclaim it for the saving of souls. It's getting dark. The time is late. The last days are coming. Stand and live and proclaim the gospel. Let me know I can help you doing that. We love you all. Till next time, may God be praised.